This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. This morning, we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro, strictly the city. So if you have a question, it needs to deal with Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us, who looks a little wiser and a little happier.
A little older, definitely. You look sharp today, Bart.
Well,
got the suspenders. You're looking good.
I knew you were coming, so I needed to dress up. Tell us, you had a birthday. You had an anniversary.
Yeah, I had a birthday last week, so hit the big 5-0. And then 2 days later, which means my birthday is completely irrelevant, we had our 25-year anniversary.
You were smart. You married at the just 2 days
after. That's right.
You'll never forget the anniversary.
August 7th, I'll never forget the anniversary. So, we had a good week. Got the boy, then took the boys back to college on Sunday. So, we had a big week.
Boy, that just doesn't seem possible.
I know. Yeah, life goes fast. Then today is one of our great friends, Addie, the Allen family, but Addie Allen, she's 16 today.
Wow.
So, and then my son's birthday is the 22nd. So, we got all kinds of things, you know, going on. August is a busy month.
I can remember... It seems like maybe the first time you were in the Christmas parade, first time I know as the mayor, I can remember here this youngster and his wife come along pushing a baby buggy.
Yep.
And I think it had two little kids in it.
Yep.
And this was your first. And now those two kids are in college?
Yeah, they're sophomores in college.
Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy because I remember in those Christmas parades when they... When I first started in council, they were two, because I was elected in 2006, and I remember pulling them in the Christmas parade in a little red Tykes, those little Tykes wagons. So, man, life goes fast.
It really does. Now, this morning we're going to be, as we mentioned earlier, focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. So, if you have questions dealing with Murfreesboro, the best thing to do is to text those to us, 615-618-1450, 615-618.
Bart, I do want to say one thing.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Butch Campbell, you know who Butch is.
Absolutely. Talked with Butch the other day.
Yeah, so Butch's son passed away last night. You know,
I did not know that.
Yeah, Rich Campbell, who was a teacher at Siegel, you know, Mr. Rich, he was in a car accident last week, and so he passed away. I think Butch texted me this morning, 11 o'clock last night. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people extremely devastated over this because Rich taught in our school system for years. You always knew him because he would play guitar and he would wear his overalls. But anyway, our prayers are with the Campbell family. I know that they're heartbroken right now.
Mm. I just can't imagine what that would be like. Butch, you are definitely in our prayers. It's sort of hard to know where to go.
Yeah, I know. I felt like I needed to.
I'm glad you did. Our thoughts and prayers with Butch. Let's talk a little about some of the things that are happening in the city. I guess some of the top stories are the bridges. And we have a person asking about the bridge that's over by the jail coming from Racquet Club.
Yeah.
But that brings on a whole group of. We're the bridge cities.
Yeah, you know, we've got all of these plans that, and we've actually funded a significant portion of those. We did that when we sold MED. We took a certain amount and we set that over to the side and we said, look, this is for these projects, for road construction. So the bridge they're talking about, that's over the Malloy Lane area that will connect that Beezy Road and that whole sort of 99 Costco area where you can go across the interstate, come to Highway 99 and not really have to go to the intersection interchange right there. So that's in process. You know, we've got lots of the Beezy Road actual bridge is nearing completion. That's the one over at Racquet Club Drive. So that's going to allow all those people who live on that in that Racquet Club or that Racquet Court area, that side, to be able to get to the interstate or to those areas and not have to go to the old Fort Parkway in Kaysen Lane intersections. You know, Bart, you've heard me talk about this, that you really can't improve a lot of those intersections they sort of are what they are. But what we're, our goal is to be able to build other areas or roads to keep people from having to go to those intersections. So in other words, you know, instead of having everybody come out on Kaysen Lane and Highway 96 to that interchange, find and create other areas where they don't have to do that. You know, and that's, I think I sent you the other night, the Asbury Lane. We've come up with a plan. Our team's come up with a plan to improve that intersection while the discussions have finalized with the Williamson family on relocating Asbury Lane over through a portion of their farm to Conference Center Drive. To, you know, my opinion, I think that Asbury Lane interchange right there, intersection on Medical Center Parkway, it just needs to completely go away. And it's a dangerous intersection. It's too close to the interstate where you get off to go to 24 West. So there are a lot of things we've got in the works that we're diligently proceeding with.
So if you are in that area, those changes will be in effect when?
Yeah, they're working on getting the construction going and started. So what that's going to do, it's going to make Asbury Lane a right in, right out. So in other words, if you're coming off the interstate, you're not going to be able to make a left turn onto Asbury where we have accidents there all the time. The other thing it's not going to allow you to do is to come out of Asbury and try to cross three lanes of traffic to make a left turn to go down Medical Center Parkway. You're going to have to, it's going to be a right in, right out. And what that'll do is that will funnel to where people can't cross 2 to 3 lanes of traffic to try, which is just too busy to do that, to try to get over to Asbury. So you're going to have to go down to Conference Center Drive, Medical Center Drive, you know, and hit
take
one of those roads
over,
and take a signal and then come back to that road. So I think that will help that interchange.
Very definitely. And so that's just a matter, that's not a major development.
No, you're just adding a divided median right there that will keep people from making that, you know, either a left out or a left in. So a lady had tagged me on social media, you know, we have right in and right out intersections all in the city. As a matter of fact, all in the county. And, you know, we would not ever put anything in that would preclude or limit emergency service providers from getting to those areas. But at the same time, you know, the hand that we've been dealt on that intersection, we need to fix that intersection. And look, this has been going on for 5 or 6 years with the discussions with the Williamson family. And, you know, the easy thing to say is, hey, we're just going to condemn the property and we're going to run a road through it. But we've tried not to do that. We've tried to be able to work with that family to get a solution that works for everyone. You know,
what is it the city wants out of that property?
So what we would end up doing is taking Asbury Lane, and that would it's almost like an upside down smiley face, where the Asbury Lane would go through a portion of that property into a roundabout where Conference Center Drive is. So, you know, all those people who live on Asbury Lane and they're trying to get to Medical Center Parkway, that intersection at Medical Center would go away, and then they would just travel down the road and then hit Conference Center where there's a medical light, and then that road would also carry on over into Wilkinson Pike where, you know, we're widening Wilkinson Pike. So at that point, you would have Garrison, you would have all these different roads that you could go down to be able to get to Medical Center or to go back to the interstate. But, you know, that intersection where Asbury is, that has probably been there at least through my lifetime. I don't know how long that road's been there. It's been a long time. Since 24 was built, you know, with the gateway area there now, that road is way too close to that 24 intersection for people to safely get in and out of there. And I think the number that was sent across, we had like 54 accidents there over like a 3-year period, which is that's a high number to be able to have.
We have a listener who sent us a text, and they're asking about traffic coming off of the interstate, if it's going toward Nashville and taking that exit onto the Medical Center Parkway. They say that they see a lot of traffic accidents there as the traffic off the exit merges with Medical Center Parkway. How can that be corrected?
Yeah, I mean, the that's a discussion that has been sort of ongoing with TDOT. But, you know, part of that is also being able to to improve that intersection at the interchange, which those are some of the things that are in the works now, including with Asbury to fix that.
I mean, there's a traffic signal there.
You have a traffic signal that takes you left and takes you right. I think just the issue you end up having, the way that that interchange is designed, you almost have like three lanes of traffic, and then as you're going down the interstate, you sort of merge over into those two lanes or three lanes that really go to Medical Center Parkway. But I'm not aware of any, you know, thing major right now that's being designed on that interchange, but I know TDOT's always looking at, you know, how to improve those.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mayor McFarland.
Yeah, down there where they're going to have the new development, city of Murfreesboro there, there's three roads that's going to turn in there where those apartments are going to be. Are those going to be ride in and ride out only? If not, it'll be that like Vine Street down there where you have to cross two or three lanes of traffic to make a left to get up to Vine Street. And what's funny, right down there at the Dodge store, on that red light, there's an arrow where you can make a left. And I've seen numerous wrecks right there. I've seen one van on its top there last year, where somebody waved them across the traffic and they got hit. I was just wondering if they were looking far enough ahead, those roads that's coming out of those apartments there, there's going to be a lot of traffic.
So you're talking about the Broad Street development. Broad Street.
Right. They should be right in and right out only. No turning across the traffic.
Yeah, I don't.
Listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think wherever they possibly can, and this with most developments now, you'll see on these busy roads, they will not allow you to cross traffic to be able to make a left turn. So I would anticipate when, you know, I don't know what the site plan, I've not seen that, but I know that our team in most cases, like for example, the Medical Center Parkway, you come out of that development, you have to take a left, and then you have to hit a traffic light to go left. You're not able with that divided median to turn back left. So that I know that's the caller. He's exactly right.
Okay, thank you for calling. I guess that's it. 615-893-1450. Another question. This one says, is the Notes Live deal a definite dead?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, we voted for the termination agreement last Thursday at our council meeting. Yes.
Okay. Any other plans for that area? Have there been other interests?
There's a couple of interested parties that are looking at the property right now, but you know, nothing definite.
Okay. Back to the downtown projects and. At least this has been brought up with two of them, that there are concerns with finances for hotels. Is that going to be a real issue?
We had a meeting two or three weeks ago. The project is really progressing along. You know, the hotel does sort of provide a wrinkle in there. So I think we've come up with what I feel like is a very reasonable accommodation that the city has requested to say, okay, look, we would be willing to do X. Part of that has to be taken away incentives and different things on that specific piece. You know, I think in a perfect world, and this is after hearing and talking with many people who are dealing with, you know, the conference center that's out at Medical Center Parkway, I think there's a huge need for a downtown facility that would be like that, where you'd have a hotel and meeting space that could be used downtown. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can have that overall discussion. I think what they're starting to see is with a project like this, where you don't want one aspect of the project to basically kill everything else. And so I think we're working through, and hopefully something will come to the council here before too long about a few minor adjustments to be able to get everything proceeding forward, including the hotel site.
Elaborate a little bit more, if you would, on the meeting space at the downtown hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge need for meeting space that we have around our community. I mean, like, for example, the airport space that we have, the business center, it's used almost daily. But I really think with what's happening downtown that if you had... A I don't want to say a conference center, because I'm not sure that the site's big enough to have a true conference center, but if you had something where you had a hotel that had space where, you know, people could have conferences or meetings, for example, on the first or second floor, and then you had hotels above that, I think people would want to come downtown and have those events, just because right now there's only one game in town. And, you know, I'm out at Embassy a lot, going and giving welcome speeches to people, to groups that are coming in, and I would probably say I'm out there 3 or 4 times a month, welcoming people into our community with different groups and different organizations. So I think it would be good to at least have that another option.
Here's an interesting comment from a listener, and they say that they are big believers in shopping local and, you know, improving and helping local businesses. And they knew that the chamber and the city government were very much behind the facility, having a conference center there at Embassy Suites, which we desperately needed. They are concerned that now that they're over there, a big sign on the wall says Nashville South.
I don't know. I haven't seen that. You know, it does drive me crazy when people refer to Murfreesboro as a suburb of Nashville. I don't think that we're a suburb of Nashville, but I do think it gives, there would be no doubt with a facility like that in downtown Murfreesboro where that was located. You know, so, I mean, we do have a lot of people who are coming to Murfreesboro, for example, that have those facilities because it's gotten so expensive in Nashville. You know, they want to come to Murfreesboro where you've got all the amenities that you really have in Nashville besides Broadway, that you know, there's good restaurants, there's good shopping, you've got a good hotel, you've got good meeting space. I mean, like, you know, you wouldn't believe the amount of emergency service conferences that are out at the Embassy Suites. But I do think, you know, it may be pie in the sky, but I do think that the ability to have something downtown would be successful.
So you're talking about something significant, not just 25 or 30 spaces.
You know, I don't know. I think it, you know, it all comes down to time and money, right?
Money is it.
Yeah. You know, and I think the estimate on the hotel right now, and or if you did some kind of conference center, would be in the $50 million range.
Ooh, wow.
And so I think trying to make that work at the same time that you're doing these other things, that's a heavy lift. So, you know, my goal is, I think it would be important to see where the WGNS site and the condominium site, which are the for sale product across the street, that gets started, which then allows all of these other things to take place as well.
So do you foresee that happening anytime soon?
I would hope so. I mean, I think, you know, the meeting we had, they're still working on their timeline that they've got, that has been approved with a TIF. So I think that's what the goal is.
Well, and this next one continues with that growth in the downtown area, improving our downtown footprint, and that is with the Methodist Church site, the old Methodist Church site. They say we still don't see a thing happening there. Is that almost at the point of being a dead situation?
Say that one more time, Bart.
I think they're concerned about the Methodist Church site, the College, East College LLC, I believe is,
yeah,
the official name.
Yeah, I mean, that's every time we have our talk, blood pressure goes up. You know, we've had some conversations this week of trying to find a way to either get that project moving forward or find some other options. So I hope that we can get, you know, my thing is every year that goes by, that church continues to sit there. And so, you know, they have cleaned the site up. They've put a mesh fence around that to make it look more attractive, if that's possible. So I hope that cooler heads will prevail, and that, you know, this developer will follow through with what they said that they were going to do. And if they're not going to do that, then step aside and let somebody else who has a vision that can you know, bring something to fruition on that site.
Is the difference in that project versus other projects the fact that they purchased the property from the city, and so they own the land?
Yeah, I think the city, you've heard me say this, that I think it's important when we make mistakes that we own those and learn from them. And, you know, going back to 2016, 2017, when we went through that RFP process, I definitely think there are things that the city has learned that we, you know, we could have done better, as opposed to, or in regards to what happens if the project doesn't get started. So, you know, again, I hope that developer's not from our community. And so I hope that developer would see the detriment it causes in our downtown area, project like that not to be started.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. Another year older and another anniversary under the belt, all within a matter of days.
That's right.
So you may want to call and wish him a happy anniversary and a happy birthday, too.
More so, happy anniversary.
He's good at that. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the low 90s. For tonight, mostly clear, low near 67. By Thursday, sunshine, high 95 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 68.
Good morning. Still got heavy traffic trying to get through Kingston Springs on 40 eastbound. All that traffic flow coming in from Dixon County. A little bit slow there. Again, through Kingston Springs on 40 going eastbound through Cheatham County. Traffic's loading up pretty good as we check it out live on 24 up through the Antioch area in from Murfreesboro. Same thing happening up there in Hendersonville. It's heavy, but moving on Vietnam Vance westbound as you come past Conference Drive. Princess Hot Chicken has new items on their new menu. Check them out today. Order online, Princess Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Hey, neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. WTNS, AM, FM, online.
Hey, welcome back. Want to say happy birthday to Joanne Kelton. Joanne Kelton is our delicious banana pudding winner from Slick Pig Barbecue. It's her birthday. Also, Carly Sawyer is our good neighbor of the day. And the person who nominated Carly said she's always helping with her stiffness. The person is stiff and sore. And Carly comes in. Carly is with the Stretch Zone. Carly Sawyer's receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. You know, I'll bet you know somebody who should be the good neighbor. You do, don't you? Don't keep it a secret. Send us their name, address, and phone number. You can text it to us. Just go to our website. That's the easiest thing. And text it, good neighbor. And, you know, they may be the winner very soon. So let us know. 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning. If you have a question for Shane, give us a shout. 615-893-1450. And again, we stress that we are focusing only on the city of Murfreesboro. Questions dealing only with the city of Murfreesboro. So give us a shout, 615-893-1450. Here's a question. This one is dealing with some of the other bridges. We didn't, we sort of got stuck on the bridge over from the Racquet Club area. What about the bridges that will cross by the Ford dealer, which would be Northfield?
Northfield.
And go on over to the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital area.
Yeah, that is one of those things that is in our 2040 major thoroughfare plan. There's not been really any discussions right now about funding that or getting that started. I think you'll probably see some of these other ones that will happen first. Now, I do think as you're seeing roads like the road that was built next to New Vision Baptist Church that comes out onto Thompson Lane, those roads are being taken into account when they're being designed to accommodate for that bridge coming at some point, but it's not something that is in the capital improvement plan that we've got where we're funding that anytime soon.
Okay. So it looks as if that's just down the road.
Yeah,
way
that'd
down.
Definitely be down the road. And I would say way down the line. I do think that would be beneficial to help Broad Street, you know, to keep people from, you know, traffic really backs up right there on, you know, between 5 and 5:30 in the afternoon where people are trying to either go to Broad Street or take a ride onto Thompson Lane. So I think the amount of people that could just go down Northfield and cross over the river and go through and end up on Thompson Lane would really help.
Here's another one. This one says, I'm starting to see the city putting in more of these speed bumps. Some of them are called calming areas, but the latest series are much taller, and they have signs of have an arrow pointed down, and they say speed bump.
Yep.
What's needed to get those in our neighborhood? We need them.
Yeah, so there's a process that you go through to get those. If you're installing those after, you know, a subdivision or something has been built. So you get on our website. It's called traffic calming, but you fill out a form that is sent to our engineering department. Then it tells you exactly what you have to go through. So there's a neighborhood petition that has to be signed. If there's an HOA, the HOA has to approve it. But, you know, we've had great success where those have gone in. You know, the first time we did that was Alexander Boulevard. You know, when that road was designed way before my time, that was basically a 2-mile straight stretch. Now we don't design roads that are straight stretch like that. And so, you know, we would routinely get complaints where people are like, hey, somebody's going 50 miles an hour down this road. And so that's really helped. We've done it on Northfield. There was or Haines Haven. There was a really bad curve there. We've done it on Battleground, Breckenridge Drive. I mean, there's a lot of areas that we've been able to do that on, you know, all over our city that I think you're really seeing that has helped with slowing people down.
Here's a question. They're asking about the Horde property out on Broad and 840. They said last time you were on, you indicated that property had been sold and they were going to do some multi-purpose development there. How is that going? They're not seeing a whole lot happening.
It's not been sold.
Oh, okay. Why nothing's happening.
Yeah, there is a developer that has that property under contract, and I met with the developer 2 weeks ago, and I have some significant concerns with, you know, what's being proposed out there, especially from a residential standpoint. You know, in my opinion, I think that property really needs to be, it's zoned in our land use plan right now, or our land use plan is more economic generating, so for job creation. And in my opinion, and I've not, you know, you don't want to comment on a plan until you see that plan that is brought in full form to the city, but, you know, putting thousands of residential units on that property, it provides significant issues for the city to be able to provide services out there. So that's something I think we're on a wait and see approach. But, you know, I shared with the developer when he showed me his master plan, my concerns about a significant amount of residential units going out there and the infrastructure issues and traffic issues and all those things that potentially could occur. And you know, I also felt like, first of all, a property owner owns that, so they've got a right to be able to propose whatever they want to do on that property, and the city can listen. Doesn't mean we have to agree with it, but I don't know of a larger piece of property, close to 350 acres that's in our community that could be used for different things. And I just, in my heart, I'm not sure that a bunch of townhomes and condos and apartments would, in my opinion, would make sense out there.
Here's a person who says they're very concerned about the lack of keeping our city beautiful. We're seeing more and more people dumping trash in places that you just don't see it in the past. Someone has disposed of a very large recliner just off Thompson Lane, and it's been there for a good while. What can be done to stop this?
Well, first email me and let me know where that is, and we'll figure that out. But, you know, Bart, there's not a good answer to that. There's a constant struggle that we fight with. I know the county really has fought with it as well. When Mayor Ketron was mayor, they passed ordinances to be able to increase the fines for people who are going and dumping their trash on you know, private property. And so, you know, we don't have cameras and those things to be able to catch people. But, I mean, Bart, what I would say is, just like sitting here at WGNS, I mean, be a good neighbor. I mean, don't do that. I mean, there's plenty of convenient centers around. There's plenty of areas where you can go take that trash and just dumping it on the side of the road or on somebody else's property. That's not good. And anyway, just be a good neighbor.
Okay, so they need to let you know.
I was about to say something I shouldn't say. Get you in trouble with the FCC.
Oh,
Bart,
oh my goodness. So we need to let you know where that is.
Yeah, if they'll email me, smcfarland@murfreesborotn.gov, we can help with that and find out if it's in the city or the county.
While we're over there on Thompson Lane, let's go ahead and go over a little farther to the soccer fields.
Yeah.
And see how that's going, and also Cherry Lane Extension.
Cherry Lane's really progressing along. The soccer fields are continuing to be as successful as they've always been, you know, with us turfing those fields 2 or 3 years ago and the partnership with Tennessee Soccer Association, the indoor facility, Murfreesboro Soccer Club transitioning into King's Hammer. And that place couldn't be going any better. As a matter of fact, Ashley and I were walking last night. It's about 8 o'clock, and we ended up stopping by the Siegel High School, watching the Siegel girls team. A friend of ours, her daughter was playing, and you know, there's so many people that kids that are all young ladies, young men that are all playing soccer. So that facility has been super successful. Cherry Lane is moving right along. I mean, we really feel like that we'll be under construction by first of next year, you know, in the 2025 range, to be getting that project moving forward. We funded a significant portion of it. We're continuing to work with the state on the interchange. So, I mean, that's going to be a couple-year project. So, I think by 2027, it would be great to see that finished and moving along.
When you look at the ground approach of Cherry Lane, it had originally been going along Cherry Lane, but I think the Corps of Engineers changed that with the wetland area there.
Correct, right in front of the
Jordan.
So
what's the direction now?
I'll have to find out if it's been listed on our website, but we've had lots of community meetings. I went to one out at Siegel Elementary that was a pretty contentious. Clearly, you can imagine the amount of a road being adjusted and going through county property that there were some concerns about that, but that all has been settled now on exactly where the road's going to go, and the right-of-way acquisition has been underway. Engineering is underway, and that's a project, you know, I think will be extremely beneficial for people who are coming off of 840 that, you know, right now your two ways to get back into Murfreesboro, either Sulphur Springs Road, which that intersection coming off of 840 is a county road, two-lane road right there that goes into a little four-way stop. But the other one is Broad Street. And so I think when you give people different options to be able to not have to either go to Sulphur Springs Road or to be able to get off of Broad Street, then that's a good thing. And, you know, you're also going to see that Cherry Lane have that intersection right before you get to Overall Creek on Broad Street, where you can have a signal there, turn left, and really cross over 840 to be able to get to that Cherry Lane interchange for people who are coming from Smyrna. So there's a lot of good things, I think, that's going to come with that you'll see that will really be beneficial to that whole entire area.
I remember when you first talked about the expansion of the soccer field, it originally was over in the Blackman area.
Yeah.
And you talked about it, and you mentioned about an exit from the interstate that would also have hotels, and you gave some huge amount of hotel usage. I'm imagining that's going to be true here, too. So will that Cherry Lane exit be a major development with hotels? And
I think there could be the opportunity for that to happen. I mean, you're not going to see the city try to do that. There's some acreage there that's still under private control that, you know, I think will be valuable acreage now for an exit to have hotels, some restaurants, probably, you know, a gas station, things like that. So, I mean, I think you could see that happen. You know, it's one of those things, it's the chicken or the egg. The road has to be built first. And then once the need and the demand is seen there, you know, I don't think that's anything you're going to see in the next 2 or 3 years that someone pop up a hotel, but I could see in the next, you know, 5 years with the amount of people that would want to stay there just for soccer alone, that somebody would want to do that. And, you know, Bart, that reminds me too, we're getting ready. I feel like I need to, you know, like from the heavens, that Veterans Park is getting ready to start on the west side of town.
Oh, boy.
We've gotten our designs back. We've gotten our first cost. And so I think you're going to see that go to bid third quarter of this year, and hopefully be under construction this year, where we can, you know, make that a reality of in 2025 to have that park up and running.
And that is a significant park.
It is. I went and drove the property three Saturdays ago, and you don't realize, you think it's just a big flat piece of land, but it's not. I mean, there's some rolling hills on that property. It's 153 acres, and I'm excited because the park, you know, is going to be predominantly walking trails, pavilions, open space, you know, open fields to kick balls, hit balls. It's really going to be a cool area. There's some pickleball courts and tennis courts that are being designed, you know, for the west side of town. You know, basketball pavilion. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that's being designed on that property that I think will be more for everyone to use as opposed to just a designated sports facility.
Now, when you compare it to other parks, would that be our second largest?
I think Barfield is by far our largest park when you start figuring the Wilderness Station and all the property that goes along with that. I don't, you know, that's a good question. At some point, I think McKnight Park is in the 110 to 120 acre range. So I don't think it'll be one of our largest parks, but it's definitely going to be up there, you know, with Siegel and some of those other larger parks.
So it is coming together.
Coming
very
soon.
Well.
Yes, sir.
Very good. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Catch the Rick and Bubba Show weekdays, noon till 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Bob Ferris lives at Adams Place.
The personnel here are excellent, and they are concerned about your well-being. Yes, they're always asking you how you're doing and what can I do to help you, and it's a blessing.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Action Line with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings at 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
We are back again. The final segment, just a few minutes left. So if you have a question, it needs to deal with the city of Murfreesboro. 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning, and he is here ready to roar. I tell you, you give a guy a birthday and an anniversary within a few days, and here's an all-new Shane with us this morning.
That's right.
So if you have a question, get it to
older
us.
Older and wiser.
That's right. Bart. Older and wiser.
I tell people, I've done this job going on 11 years now. You know, it's a part-time job. Most people don't know that. I mean, there's not been a day that I don't wake up that I've not enjoyed it. Some days I've enjoyed more than others, but you know, I'm much better now than I was in 2014 when I was initially elected, because you just learn more, you know. What I'm more thankful for is I'm more excited about the city team that we have in place right now than any time I've been in my career with being with the city. We have got some really good people that are in place, and that's across the board. I mean, that's the team that's been put together to you know, handle your solid waste, to pick up your trash. And Bart, you know, I'm proud of our city council that we have too. Bill and Austin, so Madeline, Sean, Kurt, Jamie, you know, we really stepped up over the last month, and you saw it was on your station where we gave significant increases to our police and our fire and our dispatchers. You know, we recently increased fire pay almost 17.6%. Police pay, the starting officer now is in the $65,000, you know, dollar range, and we're really trying to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that we retain the best, and then we also attract the best. And there's a price tag with that, and you're never going to hear me shirk from the responsibility of making sure that we pay our emergency service providers, but that really also goes to everyone in the city, and that's something that the city council is consistently focusing on, is to make sure that we're comparing ourselves and that we're an attractive place to work, and that we set the lead and not necessarily just look at what other communities are doing. We want to make sure that we're leading with how we're paying our employees.
Here's a question dealing with the Walter Hill area. A listener's asking two questions. One of them is, it sort of hurts their feelings whenever they drive by the old VA golf course. There's nobody there, and yet the golf course looks like it's being kept perfectly for a golfer, but nobody's using it. And the second thing, in the Walter Hill area, the Murfreesboro Parks have full control of the Walter Hill Dam Park. Are they planning on doing anything with that? And is there any hope that the conversation might still be brought back on the city having the use of the golf course?
I don't think there will be anything that will come back on the golf course. And Bart, I try to be transparent and open about that. You know, that's something we worked on for 20 years to get a long-term lease with the federal government. Because, and I hope the caller or the texter can understand this, we were on a 30-day lease out there. We may have had what was considered a yearly lease, but it had a 30-day rescission period that the government could say, federal government could say, look, we're done. And so what was happening is that golf course was being used, but we couldn't improve it. We were being told that we had to improve the ADA access through the federal government because it was a gravel parking lot. The pro shop was in a trailer. So what we ended up keeping doing is spending money, good money after bad, and the golf course was not self-sustaining. So when we built Bloomfield Links, the six-hole golf course that's part of the old Fort Golf Course facility, who, by the way, the old Fort Golf facility is opening back up on August 30th because it's gone through a major renovation, we really had to look at, okay, what are our wants and our needs? There were people who were using that golf course but the city was having trouble maintaining and paying for three golf courses. And I equate it to this. If you're renting a house and you've got a 30-day lease, are you as the renter going to replace the appliances in the house and replace the roof on the house when the landlord could kick you out in 30 days? And the answer is no, you're not going to do that. And the city was in that same position that, you know, we initially, when that golf course was built, it was for access of the city partnering with the VA, and the VA patients would use that golf course. Well, the plain fact, even coming from the VA, the patients were not using that golf course. And so we really had a parks and recreation facility that we were trying to figure out how to maintain and really needed to make capital improvements, but with no guarantee that the federal government would not do something else with it. Now, while the Walter Hill Park, I think that's something the city took over about 5 years ago. We annexed that property, and you've seen on that north Murfreesboro trailhead significant things that we've done out there. I do think that you're going to see in the upcoming future paving that parking lot and getting that, you know, in a little better shape than what it is right now.
Very good. So we have about a minute left in our program this morning. We've got the phones ringing now. I'm reluctant to answer that phone because there's no way we could get to it. And give us sort of a minute overview of what you would like to just share with the listeners.
Yeah, you know, Bart, there's a lot that's going on. We had a very rigorous discussion at our last council meeting on, you know, we're getting ready to implement a more stringent ethics policy that we have inside of our city for elected officials. You know, I think transparency is always a good model to make sure that we abide by. But we've had a lot of really good things that have been coming across the city. You know, I'm more proud of what we've done with our public safety pay over the last, you know, really 90 days than just about anything. But, you know, Darren Gore took over on July 2nd. So we've got a lot of things that we're working on. I think the best is yet to come.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, our guest this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
we'll
you,
see you tomorrow.